A reading from the prophet Malachi, chapters 3 and 4. Thus says the Lord God, Behold, I send my messenger, and he will prepare the way before me. And the Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple. Even the messenger of the covenant in whom you delight, behold, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap. He will sit as a refiner and a purifier of silver. He will purify the sons of Levi and purge them as gold and silver, that they may offer the Lord an offering in righteousness. Then the offering of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasant to the Lord, as in the days of old, as in former years. And I will come near you for judgment. I will be a swift witness against sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn an alien away, because they do not fear me, says the Lord of hosts. For behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly, will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. That will leave them neither root nor branch. But to you, who fear my name, the Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings. And you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. You shall trample the wicked, for they shall be ashes under the soles of your feet on that day when I do this, says the Lord of hosts. Remember the law of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him in Horeb for all Israel, with the statutes and judgments. Behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord. And he will turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, says the Lord Almighty. O Lord, have mercy upon us. Thanks be to God. And a reading from Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 11. At that time, Jesus said to his disciples and the multitude of the Jews, Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the day of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets. But now, in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son. And let us pray. Gracious Lord Jesus, by your coming, you have established the kingdom of faith on earth, and you promise to preserve your church, keeping us believing until you come again in glory to gather us to yourself. The day is late, our strength fails. Grant us your Holy Spirit and revive us, O Lord. Purify us by your word, refine us so that we may be separated from our sin and given new life, able to offer true spiritual sacrifices. Give us a heart that looks forward to the day of your coming with hope and expectation, knowing that our final redemption draws near. This we pray in your name and for your sake, even as you live and reign with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Grace, mercy, and peace are yours this day from God our Father, through our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. In our gospel text, Jesus says, Assuredly I say to you, among those born of women, there has not risen one greater than John the Baptist. But he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you are willing to receive it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. In the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. Well, we read in our Old Testament text the prophet Malachi foretelling the coming of Elijah, which, as Jesus reminds us, is the coming of John the Baptist. Malachi said, "The Lord says, behold, I will send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and dreadful day of the Lord." Jesus makes clear in our gospel, John is Elijah. A little bit about Malachi. Malachi is the last prophet to write in the Old Testament. He was sent by God to declare the signs which would accompany the coming of the kingdom of God so that we would know when God was fulfilling his promise to set right everything that went wrong after Adam's transgression. Adam had sold all of his descendants into bondage to sin and captivity to the devil. God promised to rescue mankind, to win our freedom. A day of reckoning would come, a day when the seed of the woman would crush the head of the serpent. A day when the Lord would suddenly come into his temple and overturn not just tables, but the whole created order as he rolled it up like a garment. He would reestablish the righteousness of God on earth. The rule and reign of God among men would be reasserted. Malachi spoke of that day, and with his final prophetic words, a fuse was lit. That fuse would burn for 400 years in the hearts and minds of the Jewish people. Sometimes the flame would spark and be brighter. Other times it would be more dim. For 400 years, the words of the prophet would echo and reverberate. The sparks would illuminate the heart and the mind of those who remembered God and his promises. The hope was for a world transformed. The expectation was for a destruction of the world that is and the establishment of a new reality. What Malachi prophesied was a cataclysmic reordering of creation. It would begin when God sent Elijah the prophet. That would be the moment when the flame would reach the end of the fuse. That is when the spark would set off an explosion that would consume the heavens and the earth. That is when the old covenant would be brought to an end, and the new covenant between God and his people would be established. You see, Malachi wasn't talking about a progressive getting better of the world through reform and transformation. The scriptures never speak that way. Through God's revelation, we see a rapid and violent coming of a new age. Behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, says the prophet. A destructive force, heat that would purify what is good and refine what will remain in the new reality. Fire that will burn up and turn to ash whatever is unworthy of a place in the new creation. Jesus declares in our gospel lesson that when John appears on the shores of the River Jordan to preach and to baptize, that process had begun. The flame had reached the end of the fuse. The end times bomb was detonated. Jesus declares it so. If you are willing to receive it, John is Elijah who is to come. And then Jesus calls all to hear and understand. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, says Jesus. Let him perceive. Let him recognize that the new age has begun. The bomb has been detonated, and nothing will ever be the same as it was. What has followed since John began to baptize on the shore of the Jordan has been an ever-expanding chain reaction. The kingdom of God has advanced. Like a bomb in its violence and force, the kingdom of God went forth from that moment at the river, and in one generation, within the lifetime of the apostles, the kingdom of God reached the ends of the earth. The most visible moment of that expansion was the day of Pentecost. God had set the stage. He had sent forth his Holy Spirit. The apostles preached the word of God. And some 3,000 who had come from all over the world came to the feast. They heard the preaching of the apostles. They were baptized into Christ Jesus. And they carried the Christian faith home with them. By the testimony of those who heard the apostles' preaching on the day of Pentecost, as well as through the missionary activity of the apostles themselves, the kingdom of God rapidly spread. So that by the time Paul is headed to Rome a few years later, about 30 years or so, he finds a thriving community of believers in Crete, a place where we have no record of any apostolic visit until Paul arrives there. We see, geographically, the kingdom of God expanded rapidly and violently in those first years, and since then, the kingdom of heaven has continued to expand. Children have been born to men and been brought to faith. The kingdom grows as the word goes forth and reaches generation after generation through the preaching and the proclamation which continues. And with each passing day, new believers hear the good news of God's salvation. They are baptized, brought into the kingdom. And each hour, the purifying fire of God's word touches the hearts and the minds of the elect, making them more holy and more righteous, purifying them and burning away everything that is unholy and unrighteous, like silver is refined. And all of this is in preparation for the final consummation. The kingdom exploded to cover the whole world. It continues to expand as new believers come to faith, and as the fire burns, believers are purged from the dross of sin, purified, made holy and righteous, so that they can inherit the new creation. This is what John meant when he declared that the Savior himself will baptize with the Holy Spirit and with fire. The Spirit's fire removes sin in the heart, purifies those who are brought into the kingdom as God turns us into royal priests, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession. Malachi says it himself, he is like a refiner's fire and a launderer's soap, burning away and washing and making clean, purifying the priestly family of Levi, purging them of all their impurities as gold and silver is refined. God is at work, preparing us to offer the Lord true offerings in righteousness. He makes us able to live in righteousness, to do good works untainted by the sin inherited from Adam. This is the same fire that refines the children of the kingdom, the same Spirit who goes forth and works righteousness in the hearts of believers. He convicts and condemns unbelievers as well. In the end, the unbelievers will be burned like chaff. When the Lord returns, it will be for them like a sudden collapse of a fireball after the explosion. The dust and ashes will be swept away. Only what is stable and solid will remain. The only things left will be those things that have been tried and tested, purified and refined. The fire has been burning now for some 2,000 years. We might begin to wonder, when will it end? After all, when we read Malachi, it appears the explosion would be rapid and immediate, and the establishment of the new kingdom would come at once. The difference between Malachi's description and our experience, however, is only a matter of perspective. It's as if Malachi is watching the events unfold like a movie played at normal speed, and we experience those events frame by frame. For us, each day that passes looks very much like the day before. But if we look carefully at world history, we see the influence and impact of Christianity. We see the growth and expansion of the church. We see just how dramatic and transformative the establishment of Christ's kingdom has been. Consider this. Before Christianity, there were no orphanages, hospitals. It was Christianity that kicked off the scientific revolution. Christianity brought honor to women and brought about a redefinition of humanity as a single brotherhood. It's not only that Christianity is the main reason that slavery has been abolished in the Western world, it is a fact that Christianity has transformed most of society on earth. Now, of course, none of this establishes the new heavens and the new earth, but it does show the growth and impact of the kingdom of heaven, even in the midst of this world which is passing away. These are the things that the love of Christ works in the world as we wait for his return and the ultimate destruction and recreation of all things. What is more significant than any of those transformative things is the fact that the new heavens and the new earth will not be empty. The biggest impact over the last 2,000 years or so is that billions of men, women, and children from every tribe, every race, and every nation have been baptized. They have been taught. They have received the forgiveness of their sins for the sake of Jesus. Billions throughout the generations have partaken of the Lord's body and blood. They have died laying hold of Christ Jesus and trusting his promises. The kingdom has expanded. Even now, believers have entered that kingdom, and they have done so through the proclamation of the same message that John proclaimed on the shores of the Jordan. Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. It's the same message that Christ Jesus himself carried forth in his own ministry. It's the same message that Jesus sends on the lips of the apostles, as he commands them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. Baptizing and teaching, faith in the Holy Spirit, the Word and the sacraments. This is how God brings about his promise to purify, to refine the sons of Levi. This is how he establishes believers as a royal priesthood, making us a unique and holy nation, a people who are possessed by God, purified, refined, and kept by God, so that we will stand in the new creation, so that we will offer the Lord our righteous praise to the glory of his name. But the work is his. Indeed, the kingdom of God has been forcefully advancing, and all those who are called into his kingdom have experienced the burning. It does feel violent and extreme, but it cannot help but be so. As the refiner purifies silver, God is at work purifying and refining those who are his own. We are grieved as we continue to see sin in the world, and as we suffer, as God works to separate us from the corruption and impurity that remains in our own heart, in our own mind, even in our own flesh. But he is making us royal priests as he intends. This is what it means that the kingdom of God suffers violence. It suffers the violent separation of what is impure and unrighteous from what is pure and holy seed which he has planted in us. As God brings his kingdom, as we experience its coming, even though it seems like a slow motion frame by frame movie, God deals with us firmly and intentionally so that we will be prepared to enter his kingdom. There are many who refuse to allow this to happen to them, though. After all, only those who know and understand that God is at work to establish and bring about his kingdom, only those who trust his mercy, only those who know God's love can submit to being purified and made holy by him. Unbelievers will always violently rise against the work of God, his Spirit, and they will reject the kindness of the King who desires to make them worthy citizens of his kingdom. Unbelievers seek to destroy and root out the kingdom of God from the world and overthrow it. But take heart. They will not ultimately prevail. The violence of unbelief will never stand idly by to allow the kingdom to expand without resistance. But our Lord tells us, though the violent will lay hold of the kingdom by force, he makes it clear, the gates of hell shall not prevail. The kingdom shall come. Evil shall be subdued. The wicked will be burned like chaff. The Lord declares through Malachi, I will be a swift witness against the sorcerers, against adulterers, against perjurers, against those who exploit wage earners and widows and orphans, and against those who turn away an alien. Because they do not fear me. The proud and all who do wickedly will be as stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up. There will be not left root nor branch. Many proud and arrogant souls hear these things and claim that God is unjust or unfair for this destruction of the wicked. But the history of the world as experienced by humanity shows that their thoughts are irrational and unjust themselves. For 2,000 years, God has held out his mercy. For 2,000 years, God has proclaimed his love. For 2,000 years, God has witnessed to the fact that he has made a way of salvation through Christ Jesus. He has called all to repentance, and he has offered hope and mercy and grace to all mankind through the forgiveness of sins won by Jesus on the cross. Jesus' death purchased our salvation and the salvation of all mankind. His shed blood is sufficient for all. The word of God and his promises have gone out to the ends of the earth. The hope and assurance of God's mercy has been proclaimed for literally thousands of years. He sent the apostles. He sent the evangelists. And with all of its faults and failures, the visible church on earth has endured to proclaim this good news of salvation through all that time. And yet the proud and the wicked continue to resist. God has pleaded, repent, believe the good news. They refuse the gracious invitation to come and partake of his salvation. How much longer must he beg? How much longer must he plead? How much longer must our Lord Jesus endure being ignored? How much more must his citizens and subjects suffer at the hands of the wicked and proud before God is allowed to say enough and bring it to an end? That day is coming. It is already set. It is fixed on the divine calendar. The angel has already been appointed to blow the final trumpet and blast the announcement of Christ's return. And when that final blast comes, there will be one final blast of heat, as the wicked and all who continue to rebel and reject and refuse the love and mercy and grace of God, all who remain rebellious and arrogant and proud, all who pursue the pleasure of wickedness and refuse to be changed and refined, they will be cast out and burned with an eternal flame that is not quenched, suffering in the place where the worm does not die. The day will come suddenly like a thief in the night, and the slow motion, frame by frame experience will give way, and time will proceed as normal. And like happens with an explosion, when the fuel has finally been spent, the air that was heated by the expanding fire cools, and there will be a sudden collapse. The heavens and earth will be rolled up like a garment, and all that will remain is what was made pure and righteous by the holy work of God. Those who have been refined and purified, those who have been made holy throughout the ages, will remain, and they will shine like the stars. All causes of sin, all causes of unrighteousness, all evil and all suffering will be removed, and in their place there will be a new heavens and a new earth. The Son of Righteousness will arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Our feet will trample the wicked who are rent asunder like ashes under the soles. So he who has ears to hear, let him hear. Elijah has come. He began the chain reaction that has led to the violent explosion bringing forth the Christian church, covering the whole earth, as the word has gone forth and brought us to faith. And now all that remains is the end. From the time of John on the Jordan shores, the kingdom of God has suffered violence, suffered the violent purgation of sin, suffered the violent opposition and destructive attempts of the unbelieving world. But this time shall not last forever. The end is near. And our Lord Jesus promises to gather us to himself. And then we shall see for ourselves what the Lord has been doing all this time. You will stand under a new heavens with your feet firmly planted on a new earth. The heavenly Jerusalem will be your home, and with God's glory shining forth, he will cover you with the radiance of his love. That city will have no need of sun or moon to shine, for the glory of God will illuminate it. The Lamb will be its light, and the multitude of those who are saved will walk in that light. The gates of the city will not be shut all day, and there will be no night. And there shall by no means enter it anything that defiles or causes abomination, but only those who are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. This is the Christian hope. This is the promise of God for all who believe. He who has ears to hear, let him hear, in the holy and blessed name of Jesus. Amen. May the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and keep your minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We rise to sing our canticle, the Magnificat, page 248.